Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. So, do you want marketing made simple? Shopify removes the guesswork with built-in tools that help you create, execute, and analyze all your online marketing campaigns. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/income. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast. Your backstage pass to revealing conversations with stars, creators, and industry leaders. On Broadway, off Broadway, and beyond. I'm Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to the actor Grant Gustin, now starring on Broadway in Water for Elephants. Gustin is probably best known for his long-running TV gig, playing the title character in the CW superhero series The Flash, which wrapped up its ninth and final season last year. But musical theater fans already know him from the recurring character he played on Glee, and before that he'd appeared in the national tour of the Broadway revival of West Side Story. He's making his Broadway debut in Water for Elephants, which has songs by the members of the Pigpen Theater Company, a book by Rick Ellis, and direction by Jessica Stone. Gustin plays a veterinarian who runs away with the circus, only to become embroiled in a dangerous love triangle. In a staging that incorporates circus arts and puppets, including that headliner elephant, Water for Elephants opened last month to glowing reviews from critics. Now, Gustin is in the virtual studio with me to tell us about the joys and struggles of doing 8 shows a week, how he trained to swing from a flying trapeze, and why the parts of the show that he gets most nervous about are also the ones he loves the most.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so the show has been up and running and open for a couple of weeks now. How's it going?
It's been good. It's been all the things, you know? It's like 8 shows a week is, it's like a mental game as much as it is a physical game. You know, it's a tough grind to keep your voice ready to sing the show. We also do a lot of yelling in the show. So it's like, it's hard on the chords, but it's like, you know, 8 shows a week is, I have found for me, and I think it's the case for a lot of actors, like I'm my toughest critic. So like, I think if I'm like at a 60% success rate where I feel good about the show, then like, then I'm going to be okay. But because it's like, you know, you're not going to love all 8 shows. You just got to keep grinding.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine it's a very different schedule from something like working in TV, where it seems like, I get the impression that a TV schedule just changes like day to day and like minute to minute.
Yeah, for sure.
It's sort of up in the air. Whereas this feels very regimented. Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think there's like, you know, there's positives for both. There's negatives for both. I mean, TV is insane. I mean, it's, you know, especially if you're, you know, I led a show for 9 seasons. So, yeah, you know, you can expect to be there every day for the better part of the day. So especially those early seasons, I mean, it was like, you know, 15-hour days on the regular, 5 days a week, night shoots like twice a week. So, but I was 23 when that started and I did not have a child yet. So, you know, life changes as you do it. And then this is, you know, it is more set, like the rehearsal process was a grind. Obviously it's, 6 days a week with 1 day off, even during the rehearsal process. But it's like 10-hour days, which like, to me doesn't feel long coming from TV. And then once you're into the shows, you know, it's like you're going into the theater at night once you're not rehearsing in the day anymore. but you just got to take care of yourself in a different way. Like I don't even remember being sick many times in the 9 years that I did The Flash, just because like if you have a cold, you just kind of like, it's like I can still do my job. Like, but if I get a cold now, which I'm much more susceptible to with a toddler in preschool, it's a lot harder to muscle through and sing a full, you know, 2.5 hour Broadway show. So it's just a different grind. And I'm also now away where it's only like, you know, I'm gone from the house like 5 hours at night, but it's like right at dinner time and my daughter's bedtime every night. So it like hits you in a different way. You're just like gone during the, like an important part of the day, but I get to take her to school and pick her up from school. And, it's just that, you know, it's just hard to find balance.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you do to maintain yourself physically to sort of stay healthy and, you know,
it's funny. I mean, mostly these first 2.5 months or three, you know, it's been, I guess a little over 3 months. It has just been like the show keeping me in shape. Jesse L. Martin, who's, you know, a Broadway veteran and was on Flash with me for years. He actually called me last night to check in as I was in the car on the way home. And I was like, I bet you got a six pack right now, man. Broadway gives you a six pack. And I was like, you know, actually, considering I haven't been going to the gym, like, yeah, my legs and my core have stayed in pretty good shape doing the show.
Yeah. And how was opening night? Did you have a good party?
Yeah, it was. Like, it's funny. I've talked about this a lot where, like, I'm not a party person. I'm like, I was nervous approaching my wedding in 2018 because of the party aspect of it. And like my wedding, with opening night, I felt the same way. I was kind of like, I think almost like trying to keep myself from getting stressed. I was like, it's just another show. Like, I just wanted to get through opening and get into our normal schedule. But like my wedding, it was, you know, one of the most special nights, you know, of my life that I will remember up there with, you know, with my wedding. Like it was a very special experience. I think I underestimated how special it was going to be, just having so many people I loved in the audience and a lot of them being at the party afterwards. And yeah, I'll remember it forever. It was definitely a culmination of, you know, a lot of people helping me get to that moment. And a lot of those people were in the house for the show. So it was pretty special.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about how you got involved in the project. First of all, were you looking for something to do on stage in particular? Was stage an actual focus for you as you had left The Flash?
Yeah, it was. Even between seasons, there had almost been a couple times that I did some things on Broadway. I mean, there was, I don't know if I need to say what they were, but there was two that actually fell through. Like one, because of COVID, one thing I was going to do, and then COVID shut Broadway down. And then there was one musical I was going to do for TV, those, you know, CBS musicals, and it fell through. So there was two opportunities that we were actually going to go through with that just ended up not happening. And when The Flash ended, I knew I wanted to get on stage. It was one of my top priorities. I'm very much like, I don't necessarily care what the medium is or what the genre is, as long as like I'm passionate about the story we're telling and the character that I'm going to get to play. But I did really want to get on stage when Flash was over, because, you know, you get so comfortable doing something for so long. And while I had spent, you know, my early years from the time I was 10 to the time I was 21 doing stage exclusively, it had been 13 years. And I really wanted to get on stage because I knew it would feel scary, and I knew that it would push me in a way that I hadn't been pushed in a while. And I thought that'd be good for me, but I also didn't want to do it just to do it. And we were in the middle of the SAG strike. So we had really focused our energy on like, well, is there anything I could do right now? And this just like kind of came at the perfect time. Like I have a friend, Michael Mendez, that's in a company of this show, who has been with it since the workshop and did it in Atlanta. And this role, Jacob opened up and he messaged me and asked, you know, just kind of gauging my interest as a friend, if I'd be interested in doing it. And then it became a very traditional process. Once like I found out about it, I, you know, called my manager about it. I was like, let's look into this. And nothing happened for a few days. And then I, you know, got a request to make a tape, and then I made a tape, and then I got a callback, and I flew to New York for my callback. And and I it went my way, and I was just, you know, the lucky actor who got the job.
And what appealed to you specifically about the musical and or the role that you're playing?
I was aware of the book. I hadn't read it at that point, but my mom had, other people in my life had read it and loved the book, and I knew what it was about. I had seen the movie, but it had been a while. So I started reading the book during the audition process, and then I, you know, I got the two tracks that I had to record for my audition and was immediately taken by Pigpen's music and just its uniqueness. And the script also, I mean, even just the couple scenes I had, like, I feel like this book, Rick Ellis's book, is like something about it, for whatever reason, to me feels a little more like a play than like a lot of musicals books tend to feel. And I was just like excited about the idea. And then as I kept reading the book, I felt this connection to Jacob. I saw things in him that like artwork qualities that like I aspire to like have a bit more of. I mean, something I've talked about a lot is like, I can tend to be more of a pessimistic person, and I'm attracted to characters that aren't that way, that can be a little more optimistic. And his positivity in the face of so much tragedy and choosing to, you know, continue on and live his life in an inspiring way was, you know, I liked. And then upon meeting Jess Stone during the audition process, and a third of the Pigpen guys at the callback and Rick, I just knew I wanted to work with these people. It was just like very apparent very early on that this was a good group of creative people and I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah. And what, as you got back into the first, you know, theater rehearsal process and pre-production process that you've been in for a while, did anything feel particularly foreign to you after all that time away?
I mean, I've always kind of felt that way about music, to be honest. Like, I don't play an instrument. I've tried a couple different times to learn guitar or piano and just like, I've never stuck with it for one reason or another. Like, I'm busy or I'm, you know, not motivated enough, didn't have a reason to do it, you know, wherever it may be. And I don't like, I went to a performing arts high school and was getting a BFA in musical theater in college. And like, I've studied music theory and like, I've, you know, done all the things, but for whatever reason, like, don't read sheet music. Like, I can follow it. And I've always struggled with confidence in general, I guess, but as a singer, for sure. I've never thought of myself as a singer, even though like it is technically something I can do. So I was very nervous on the first day about just people hearing me sing. You know, I'm also not naive to, you know, coming in as someone who's been away from this for so long, who's a quote unquote TV actor, and wanting to feel like I earned this, and this was my background is theater, and I didn't want to feel like an outsider coming in, and I was worried I would. But they did, you know, they made me feel welcome. They made me feel legitimate. But yeah, it was really scary. Those first 2 days were just music, and that's when I'm the most nervous for sure. That was the scariest part, definitely.
Yeah. And has Broadway been particularly meaningful to you as sort of, you know, maybe a career goal or a place you came as a kid? Like, what was your relationship to Broadway before this?
Yeah, I mean, this was my goal as a kid. I mean, I never imagined I would have been in TV or movies, but I always assumed I would be on Broadway someday because it was like what I put all of my energy into. Like I said, I mean, I did exclusively theater growing up. I went to a performing arts high school, and the goal was always to then go to college with a major in theater and to eventually move to New York and pursue Broadway. And like, and I had a different level of confidence as a young person than I did as I got older, for whatever reason, even as I had success with, you know, the Broadway tour and the TV show and all of it. For whatever reason, that did not build more confidence in me. I had it as a kid, and I assumed I would be on Broadway someday. So it's to get to this point now, I think I almost appreciate it in a way that I might not have if I had, you know, finished my 4 years at Elon, gone to New York, and got my first Broadway show when I was 23 or whatever. I think it would have felt like, yeah, well, this is what's supposed to happen next. I don't know. It's funny to, like, I've had, you know, all this incredible success that a lot of actors would kill for the past 13 years. But I think it's almost like, in some ways, kind of like humbled me, because it's like all this self-doubt, almost in ways, it's like built up somehow as you compare yourself to these people that you admire. And I don't know, it's been such an interesting journey, and it will continue to be, I'm sure. But I have enjoyed a lot of success, but I've, you know, also, like, there's all these mental hurdles you need to try to overcome in life, but as an actor, for sure.
I'll have more with Grant right after the break. Welcome back to more of my conversation with the actor Grant Gustin.
Broadway is, of course, its own weird little world with its own way of operating. What has been, has there been anything that's been particularly surprising for you about Broadway and how it works?
Just yesterday, honestly, there was, like, because, you know, we premiered at a interesting time, and we're entering this interesting, first of all, this season is insane. I kind of knew when I got the job, but it's gotten more and more insane over the last couple of months with, like, all these new shows coming in before the Tony deadline, award season deadline. And it's just an insane season, which is exciting for Broadway. And also, like, you know, intimidating for all the shows, because it's hard to find success. And, like, yeah, I guess I didn't, they talked to us yesterday, our, you know, amazing, amazing producers, about submitting each of us for different categories, because I didn't realize the whole, like, if you're not above title, it's assumed you're featured supporting. So that's one thing they came to talk to us about yesterday. Like, are you okay with being submitted for this versus for that? Like, do you? So it's funny, things I hadn't really thought about.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the circus elements of the show. They're very elegantly integrated into the proceedings, and I imagine that involves a whole lot of kind of backstage infrastructure that is unusual compared to most Broadway shows, right? Can you tell me a little bit about sort of how you all as actors sort of interact with, you know, all the safety and all the kind of structure around all that?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of rigging that I don't even see that. You know, I mean, we had to rehearse in Long Island City in this really unique space because of all the rigging that they needed. Like, we, you know, typically would have probably been at, you know, 42nd Street Studios or whatever, but they needed, you know, very specific space for the things that, you know, the trapeze stuff and the aerialist work that, you know, that's going on. And I'm, like, blissfully unaware to a lot of the rigging that's probably surrounding me. And I also, for anyone that's seen the show knows, like, I, you know, I enter, like, 5 minutes into act one, and then I don't leave. Like, I'm on stage until act one ends. So I'm not really backstage with a lot of the, like, craziness that's going on. Like, I'm on stage hearing, because the Imperial's really tight, you know, narrow wings, and in a small backstage area as well. And our set is pretty minimal, you know, it's all these just scaffoldings and stuff, but, like, we're still, there's, like, you got to get them off stage sometimes. So they're pretty much, like, half on, half off a lot of the times that they're in the wings. And sometimes I'm on stage hearing them, you know, lock the brakes, unlock the brakes, move this around, move that around. And at one point in the second act, there's this sequence where a couple of performers are attached to this bungee system, and they're running onto stage and getting thrown back off into this padded wall. And that, at one point, again, while I'm on stage, so I don't see it happen, comes down from above. They get hooked up to these harnesses. This whole hydraulic system, I think, is put in place with this bungee system. And, you know, there's a lot, again, going on that I'm unaware of, but, like, I'm, like, vaguely aware that it's happening around me, but it doesn't really concern me. I just know where I need to be, so I'm safe and everybody else is safe. Yeah.
At one point, you're hanging from a trapeze, right? You're sort of swinging through the air. Is that
correct? Yeah.
Is that fun and terrifying?
It is fun now. Yeah. It's I was scared to do that because, like, we that was not rigged in Long Island City. So I, you know, every time we did, we rehearsed that part or eventually we're doing runs, I just stood with my feet on the ground. So I never got to do it until we got into the theater. We did off to the side have this space with a mat and a trapeze where I wasn't high off the ground, where we trained me for it. Because even though I'm just swinging, they needed to make sure that I was strong enough and capable enough to be on this thing. So they had me, you know, every day, make sure I could at least do 10 pull-ups and then pull my, like get into a pike position and sit on it. So in case anything goes wrong, I can get safe. And then how to get out of the seated position. So like they did have to train me to just be allowed to like hang from the trapeze. But I never did it until we were teching the show. 'Cause that was the first time, you know, we had the rigging to do it. And that was scary the first time I did it. 'Cause it's like, it had just kind of been this thing. Yes, it's high up. And it'd been just this thing that was going to happen for like 6 weeks that, you know, we just talked about. And I was like, yeah. But then it was suddenly happening. So the first time I did it was kind of like, oh God, but it feels pretty cool now. I'm pretty comfortable with it. And yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And there are a lot of puppets involved in the show as well. Is that fun for you to interact with? What's it like to kind of interact with
it? Is. Yeah, I love the way they've done the puppets. I mean, like Rosie has done, the elephant has done in a pretty different way than the rest of the puppets, where like the rest are like pretty abstract and suggestive, where that, you know, that's not quite the case with Rosie. But it's cool. I mean, the first time we see the majority of them is in the menagerie, where, you know, Jacob enters and sees all these animals for the first time. And it's a really, I'm standing in front of them, as if I'm looking at them this way as they're all behind me. But I get chills during that moment every night, as, you know, Greg Edelman, who plays older Jacob, is describing what it was like to see all these animals. And he says something at one point, like, it's, you know, it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. It's happening right now. And that's what I feel every night as we're doing it. It's pretty cool. And then I finally turn and get to see them and interact with them. And yeah, and it's just awesome moment. And then we have the beautiful moment at the end of Act One where, you know, we see Rosie in her entirety for the first time, and it's pretty magical.
What is the hardest thing for you to do in the show every night? What's the biggest challenge?
It kind of varies. I mean, I would say the most consistent thing I spend time worrying about is just like singing, which I knew it would be the case coming in.
Yeah.
It's, you just got to take care of yourself, and like, and you're going to be a little like, what I'm realizing is most shows you're going to kind of feel like, I'm tired. Like, I don't know if I can do it today. And then you do, you know? And like, and I am, one thing I'm reminding myself as I'm doing this is, you know, you train for things, and like, you know, you go to the gym to get stronger, and like over time, like certain workouts get easier, and, you get bigger, you get stronger. And it's the same thing where, like, you know, the first few weeks of rehearsal, you know, I was like, I don't know if I can physically sing this stuff 8 shows a week. Mind you, I was holding up fine in rehearsal, but, and I do, I think, underestimate myself at times. And I'm, again, hard on myself. But the more you do it, it's like, I've been doing it for 3 months now. And like, my chords are being trained specifically to do these exercises, these songs. And I have to remind myself, like, I'm trained for this. I'm conditioned for it. I can do it. So there's, you know, days you're tired and you feel like you can't, and then you can. And obviously not all shows are going to be perfect, and you'll, you know, have mistakes or flubs or whatever, but like, live theater.
You mentioned actually the earlier your reaction to the music when you first heard it and you first did the songs. Mm-hmm. How do you describe, because it's a sound that is unusual for Broadway. And I wonder if you could just tell me a little bit about how would you describe it and what's it like for you to sing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way, you know, we usually describe it, it's like bluegrass, like Americana, but I also feel like it is very still, like, you know, Broadway musical theater influenced. I mean, it has those elements. I mean, some songs more than others. Like, you know, we've got Squeaky Wheel at the top of Act Two with Sarah Gettelfinger and Joe DePaul and Stan Brown and myself, and that feels very musical theater to me, you know. And but then there's other, like anywhere that I open the show with or open my show with, is I do think it's like, you know, like a musical theater, like power ballad elements to it, but it's also still like has their kind of Americana feel that I think is their staple a little bit. But I think like Road, that the we had that big first company song, is like kind of what the vibe of their music is and the vibe of the show. And it that's, I think, more than anything else, is like that true Americana kind of bluegrass feel. And it's just infused with like fun too, and like togetherness, and which is what the show is. Like, you know, we're all holding each other up in the show, figuratively and literally. It's very much, you know, I think our show is one of those shows where it's just like devastating that there's not a, you know, best ensemble, best company Tony Award. Cause like we would win it. It's like, it's what they're doing is incredible.
What is your favorite thing to do in the show every night?
It's like, while I'm scared and nervous every show, I also like every aspect of it is like fun to me for any given reason. Like, I love, like, from the moment my show starts with like, I pop out from behind this poster that Greg disappears behind, and then I do this leap onto this train, supported by Sam and Nico, two of our company members, circus performers. And that moment is like, you know, exciting. It's like, it doesn't always go right, because we kind of do it in the dark and it's like a really hard move. And we're very dependent on like all three of us kind of being aligned. But like that moment is like, I worry about it and it's really fun. And then like I'm on the scaffolding singing Anywhere, and like, and I worry about it, but it's really fun. And that's how all of it, again, it's like why I wanted to do this. It's scary, but it's like there's nothing more fun or fulfilling than live theater. And like, it's like I have to remind myself, like, it's okay for it to be both things, you know, both scary and fun and fulfilling. Yeah, it's like the things I enjoy the most in the show are also the things that like I know like could go wrong.
Have you found that your time working in TV and particularly on The Flash has influenced now how you approach your work on stage?
Maybe. I mean, I did it for so long. It's hard to say like what parts of, I mean, I guess it's like all in one, where it's like, because it's like I grew up on that show. You know, I was 23 when I started it and 33 when I finished it. So like I changed so much as a person as I did that show, and I grew so much, you know, I matured so much, I changed as an actor. So it's hard to say like what lessons were just like life lessons and what like I was specifically taking from the show. And I guess they're kind of one and the same, but I know, I think it reinforced how hard of a worker I am, which like I didn't always give myself credit for, but I know now is true. Like I love working and I put everything I have into whatever it is I'm doing. And I've noticed something people, you know, will point out about me, about, you know, my character as I do specific jobs. And I think, you know, it's coming in as like a TV actor into this, like, I think my work ethic in some ways, like surprised some people. It was like a pleasant surprise for some of the creative team as I came into this. So I think it, doing that for so long, like, you know, you could go a couple different ways with doing a TV show for so long. You can kind of check out because it is really comfortable and it can get really easy. And maybe, you know, I had some moments like that where I'm not even aware that that's what's happening. But I think for the most part, I took it more and more seriously because I never took for granted how much The Flash, that character, means to people and had meant to people since like long before I had anything to do with it. So I think that was the beauty in that. It's like, I always knew that it was bigger than me and people would continue caring about it long after I was done being a part of it. And so I always took a lot of pride in just like giving everything I had to it. But I think that's also kind of what I do because I love what I do. So coming to do this, it was, you know, the same thing. Like I knew like, I felt insecure about some aspects of it. Like, it, you know, I can have imposter syndrome where like, I feel like they're going to realize within the first week they've made a giant mistake and they shouldn't have entrusted me with this role. But, you know, then I lean on, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it as well as I want to do it or as well as other people are hoping I can do it, but I know I'm going to give it, you know, everything I have. And I'm going to be passionate about it. I'm going to, you know, bust my ass and make sure I'm doing the best job I can. And I think that's what I've done and I'll continue to do as I do this and whatever other work I do in my career.
Yeah. How do you think about theater fitting into your career overall as it continues?
You know, like if, as you asked me that, he just popped into my head. Like when I was, again, like this was all I did growing up. So like theater was always like, I had always hoped would be a huge part of my career. And I now hope going forward, I can be one of those actors where it's just known that I do both. And I was, you know, doing exclusively community theater as, I forget what year it would have been when Hugh Jackman did Boy from Oz. It would have been like 2004, 2003, something like that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And it was actually at the Imperial.
That's right. It was.
And I saw him do it. And he was also Wolverine at the time. And I think he was specifically doing like Van Helsing or something when I think it was coming out around the time he was doing that. And it wasn't lost on me, even as, you know, a 13-year-old or whatever, how incredible it was that like this guy wasn't just like, oh, he's going to do his little Broadway thing. It's like it was part of his fabric. And he was incredible in that show. And it couldn't have been more of a departure from him as Wolverine. And at 13, I was aware of that. And I wanted nothing more than to like be that when I was older. And I hoped, you know, I thought my track would be, you know, I'm going to continue to pursue musical theater. I'm going to be in ensembles of Broadway shows. Hopefully I can eventually become like a lead on Broadway. That can lead to opportunities in TV and film. And then I can come back and I can do more. And like, this is literally as a 13-year-old what I'm thinking. And that's why it always surprised me. It's like it kind of like did this reverse course than of what I expected. And I still ended up pursuing theater and I still got to do my Broadway tour first. But then I ended up on Glee, which kept me in LA for a while. And then it led to eventually Flash a couple years later, which has led me back to this moment. So I look at someone like Hugh Jackman, it's like, who's always been like an ultimate inspiration to me. And Matthew Broderick was also like an early inspiration to me. I mean, Ferris Bueller is like one of my favorite movies. And I also saw him and Nathan Lane and the Producers. It was one of my first Broadway shows I saw. And those were just like the guys I looked up to and wanted to be like when I was doing theater growing up. And to think, like, who knows what the rest of my career is, but to think that like it's what I wanted more than anything. And now I got to lead, you know, a show like The Flash that was so important to so many people. And now I get to be a part of this show, Water for Elephants, that I'm having so much fun with and people seem to be enjoying. And who knows what's next, but like, to think that I've gotten to do both these things is, really, 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 really special.
Is there another show or a role that you are dying to do?
Not specifically. You know, there was like a lot of things growing up I wanted to do that, like, you know, those desires kind of like change and morph as you get older. But like my ultimate goal was always this. So it was to originate something, and I'd love to get to do this again, like originate something again at some point. I mean, I was talking about earlier, like Link Larkin was always a role I wanted to play as a kid. Like, I don't necessarily really need to do that anymore. I mean, there are certain shows like, you know, there's been already like recently a How to Succeed revival, but like that was always a role I wanted to play. Yeah, I don't know. There was, you know, there's so many. Urinetown was a show that I always wanted to do. Like, maybe it could be time for a Urinetown revival. It's been a while.
It's been a little while, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'd love to do some straight plays. I'd love to get back here and do like straight plays after this too. Like, I've actually never, all my years of doing theater growing up, I've never done a straight play. I've only done musicals. And I, you know, I think of myself now more as like an actor that sings than like a musical theater performer. Like, even though that is kind of like what my background is, and I guess technically what I am right now, but I do think of myself as an actor. So, you know, I don't know. I'd like to do more musicals and plays.
Yeah. Well, we will look forward to whatever brings you to Broadway next. And in the meantime, we'll see you in Water for Elephants. Thank you so much, Greg. Yeah. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you too.
That was Grant Gustin, now starring on Broadway in Water for Elephants at the Imperial Theater. If you enjoyed this conversation here on Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft. Find past episodes and subscribe at all the places you get your pods, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, a great place to find more theater for your ears. Until next episode, find me on Instagram and Twitter at Gordon B. Cox. You can also check out my newsletter about international theater. It's called Jakewees, and it's at gordoncox.substack.com. Thanks for listening, and see you at the theater!
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.